And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice, presented by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.
The Detroit Red Wings can't be stopped and Connor McDavid's hurt. Suffice it is to say it's been another unpredictable start to the fantasy season brought to you by our good friends over at Skip. It's time for another edition of NHL Fantasy on Ice, Week 3 Waiver Wire Edition. With the injuries piling up league-wide, trust me when I tell you that you're going to need our advice, especially today. It's Nick Alberga, Pete Jensen, and Anna Dua with you. What's going on, Pete?
Hey, Nick. Yeah, that's tough news for the fantasy community, no doubt. I know for the Heritage Classic, it's a bit of a bummer, but we're still excited for the Battle of Alberta. Skip, of course, official food delivery app of the NHL. And Anna, I know you're disappointed, too, because Connor McDavid's a big Nickelback fan and a little bit of a downer there.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I was about to say it's a tough time for the Nickelback community as well, guys. Just tough to see Connor McDavid out like that, but that gives a lot of fans in various fantasy pools a time to get a leg up on other people they're competing against because now the playing field is a little bit more even. So we'll have all the advice you need on this episode.
Yeah, and that's exactly it, right? I think we got to translate it to the waiver wire and how we can help respective fantasy owners out, guys, in this time of need. I mean, you lose Connor McDavid, boy, oh boy, you're in some big time trouble. But luckily, Pete, there are some centers on your list this week, right?
Yeah, definitely. Matthew Potra, first two goals in the NHL. I mean, that was a big time performance. He's up to the second line already. Pavel Zacha, a lot of people are actually asking us in the fan questions this week, Anna, should you cut ties with this guy? I wouldn't personally, but I kind of like the 1-2 punch moving forward with this rookie at the helm with Bergeron and Krejci no longer with the team. Finally, a youth movement, and also JVR is playing really well if you want to tap into the Bruins as well.
I'll take any piece of the Bruins right now, to be honest. This is a team you should be targeting as it stands. We were all expecting Boston to fall off, but here they are undefeated. It's almost November. They look like they want to prove all of their doubters wrong so far. So I'm taking as many Bruins as I can get this week, Nick.
I can't get in on the Wii. Because I had Boston winning the Atlantic Division. They're still an absolute wagon of a team. I'm so happy they're starting this way, guys. The goaltending's locked in. I'm not sure they can score as much as they used to, but like it's such an epic story to me, the way just a couple guys, big-time names, retire, and then they come out the way they have here. And they're just so resilient. Like, even in that game, Pete, Anaheim scores the first goal, and Boston bounces right back. And there's we didn't expect this. There's a lot of fantasy options right now in Boston, Pete.
There definitely are. I mean, I think that they're eventually going to lose sometime this upcoming week, probably, but it's been an incredible run for them. They're one of, what, three remaining undefeated teams, along with the Colorado Avalanche, who are loaded. I mean, that is the number one team out there to try to pick somebody up from, whether it's Lehkonen or Nichushkin. Ryan Johansson is lighting it up, Anna, on the first power play. You love to see that type of exposure for him as a bounce-back candidate from injury last year. And then also the Vegas Golden Knights, locked and loaded, undefeated. This team is the real deal, and they're coming to prove all their doubters wrong once again.
That seems to be a trend right now so far this season. We kind of were expecting a changing of the guard in the NHL, but the teams that were good last year are good again this season, and you just can't go wrong with picking up any of these guys from these teams. They all have so much depth too, guys. That's what's important. They can roll out a decent amount of lines. Colorado really upped their depth over this offseason, so you have a lot of options from those three squads alone.
And I won't lie, I'm starting to get that feeling, and it's not because Frozen Frenzy is coming our way on Tuesday. It's just Barry Kotkaniemi. Is breakout season finally here? Sebastian Aho's injured, and I've been really, really thoroughly impressed with Kotkaniemi's start. Carolina, furthermore, they can't keep the puck out of the net, which is really, really weird for them. I think they're second right now in goals against in the NHL in terms of allowing. But Kotkaniemi's off to a good start. He needed this, Anna.
He really did. I mean, 5 points, last three games, two goals. He's playing really well. He's stepping up to the plate. The injury luck continues for the Carolina Hurricanes. Man, this team just cannot catch a break. They really are at this point, I believe it. But you need guys like him to step up because the biggest issue with the Hurricanes has been they don't have a true second center on this squad. And they rolled with him again this season. Now Sebastian Aho's injured. He really needs to be the guy, and he's kind of proving himself. And in terms of just where the Hurricanes stand, guys, like, I know they're allowing goals galore right now, but it's not really the fault of any of their skaters. Carolina's still among league leaders in the fewest shots on goal allowed per game. They have a lot of shots on goal per game. Their forwards and their defensemen are doing pretty much as much as they can right now. Their goaltending situation is just an absolute mess.
Right, and the injuries with Aho and Anderson and no Svechnikov since last season. Yeah. I mean, it's just starting to add up a little bit. And then also factor in, like, they brought back Tony DeAngelo, and someone was asking a fan question delivered by Skip, like, should you keep Tony DeAngelo right now? I personally wouldn't. He's like an anchor bringing down Dmitry Orlov in the plus-minus category so far this season, and it just makes me worry about depth options like that from Carolina. You're still going to be tried and true and be patient, Nick, with some of these top-tier yeah. names. And Seth Jarvis, you like what he's doing on the mm-hmm. line with Kokkaniemi, Tara Vinen, and you're going to keep those guys through and through. But I would personally cut Tony DeAngelo as the second, third, or fourth defenseman wherever he's playing on a given night.
I don't know what it is, like maybe just a different year, a weird year, but I'm getting bombarded with messages this year. Should I drop this guy? Should I drop this guy? People losing their minds over 1 week where they're blown out. Like I tend to exercise patience within reason. I'll do the same with DeAngelo. In fact, a couple people messaged me on him. I think Carolina Peach is so hard to quantify because there's so many guns on that back end. Like you look at that blue line. You compare them to other juggernaut teams in your league, you're like, wow, Carolina is looking really, really good. But as we mentioned in reference, they can't get a save, which obviously is going to change with this team. But Pete, that's, I think, where your head's coming from is that there's so many weapons on that blue line and there's only one puck, right?
Definitely. And you're starting to see the cream rise to the top at the same time, right? Like Jacob Slavin is actually producing yeah. at a higher clip than he ever has in his career fantasy-wise. You've seen a couple of bursts like this, Anna, right? During certain Stanley Cup playoff runs, but it's nice to see one of the best all-around defensemen in the league start to return some fantasy value. So I guess maybe if you cut Tony D, you'd want to try to get a piece of Jacob Slavin while you still can.
Absolutely. I mean, he's a playoff stud. It's great to see him performing this well this early into the regular season. And Brady Shea as well. Can't forget about the hot start yeah. he's had. He's yeah. probably one of my favorite depth defensemen in the league. I was high on him last season, and he's just proving me even more right at the beginning of this season. And we're talking about everyone on Carolina's blue line, and we haven't even mentioned Brent Burns, who's also playing well. So that just goes to Nick's point where every single guy on that blue line is just points galore right now. And I think Carolina is going to be one of those teams where people might be a little bit worried. They might be dropping players with the injuries and with the goalie concerns they have right now. But as soon as they figure out their goaltender situation, it's going to be like a 180 degree turn for this team. And we're going to see them launch straight to the top of the standings.
And one team that also, I think, Nick, you want to get a piece of on their blue line is the Arizona Coyotes, right? Like Sean yeah. Durzi on the first power play. We knew that was going to happen. I was high on him. And then also when you look at the carryover from the success last year, Juuso Välimäki on the second power play unit, all of a sudden the Coyotes, who are down in the dumps for years, like they're one of the best power plays in the league to start the season. They're like seventh in power play percentage.
Yeah, so firstly, I wanted to come on here and give you guys some credit. I know it's far removed still from the Stanley Cup playoffs. I said Arizona was going to be competitive, but they're like handily beating some better teams, and I think it's a great story early on. And I think Tourney for the Jack Adams is very, very live, which we love to see mm-hmm. on this show for sure. But that specifically, I did a hit last week on Daily Faceoff Live, and I was pimping Sean Durzi, and I'm like, this guy's going to get 50-plus points. And the ridicule I got for some folks on social media, which is a daily occurrence for yours truly, I'm like, come on, give me a break. I love this guy. Like, he ran a good power play in Los Angeles. The only reason why he's no longer with LA is obviously the whole arbitration and the money going up, and number two, Drew Doughty, right? So this mm-hmm. is a guy who is seizing the opportunity, and we love these stories in fantasy hockey. And then of course, Juuso Välimäki, Anna, comes in last year and really takes that role to the next level. And now he provides some insurance for a guy like Durzi.
And both of their units are rather solid. I mean, I've been high on the Coyotes. Yeah. I'm doubling down that they're making the postseason this year. This team just really has impressed me so far as well. But the unit Durzi's on, I mean, playing with Clayton Keller, Logan Cooley, Nick Schmaltz, even Barrett Hayton, that's a solid squad that can compete against a lot of NHL teams. And the second unit, even for Välimäki, he has Michelli, who he was a goal-scoring stud last season for the Coyotes as well. And I feel like this team is so sneakily well-rounded, and we haven't given them the credit that they deserve. And they can hold their own against pretty much any team in the NHL in my eyes right now.
They're a tough beat, that is for sure. A couple other names that caught my eye in terms of forwards on your list. Obviously, you referenced them, Pete, but are Terry Lehkonen and Lucas Raymond. I mean, two of the better stories in general in this league right now are Colorado, their hot start, and obviously the Red Wings, what they're off to.
Definitely. I mean, you can make a case right now, not only based on performance to date, but for the rest of the season, the combination, the Michigan connection, right, hometown kids, Alex DeBrincat and Dylan Larkin, Anna. Is this like a top five duo in the NHL for the rest of the season? It sure seems like it, right? They're both the top two leaders in points in the league. Larkin tied for the league lead in assists, and DeBrincat leads the league with 8 goals as of record time.
As of right now, they are. I don't know if for the rest of the season that's going to stick, but that top line for the Detroit Red Wings has been lights out so far. Even their third line, Joe Valino, has been really sneaky as of late. He's a player that I've been monitoring, playing with Daniel Sprong, who I know Pete has been high on as well this season for the Detroit Red Wings. This team is having all their players kind of reach their potential early, and that worries me a little bit in terms of how long they can maintain it for the rest of the year. But so far, there's nothing I can complain about for the Detroit Red Wings. It's just tough when you see these guys peaking so early that I'm like, what's going to happen? Where all of a sudden this hot start they're on, they're going to fall off.
Hey, shout out to my guy, Joe Valeno from nearby where I grew up in Quebec. So we love to see that. So I put a poll out on Sunday. Are the Red Wings real? And maybe this is an inclination of how people truly feel. Yes, 48%. No, 52%. I'm probably somewhere in between. I think it's incredible, as you mentioned, Pete, what DeBrincat and Larkin are off to, and they look like they're having fun. I almost feel bad for Ottawa Senators fans because this is the guy they thought they were trading for, and well, we all know how it turned out last year. Like, he was okay, but this is the DeBrincat we saw a lot in Chicago, and I think credit to those of you, by the way, who listened to our preseason podcast, because this is a guy we pimped quite a bit, right, to be a bounce-back candidate, and he's been unbelievable so far. They've combined for 23 points. David Perron's another guy I would throw to the table in terms of the waiver wire. 2 goals, 2 assists, 6 games played. I love the contract year targets as well. So I'm somewhat in the middle, Pete, when it comes to Detroit. And if am I truly a believer, because I think you look at their goaltending, it's been up and down. Reimer's probably been better than Husso, but it's been an epic story early on, Pete.
I mean, honestly, I was high, like Bobby was calling me out on in the preseason. I was high on the Red Wings last year. I liked the direction, and I was critical of some of their offseason moves this year. I like Husso a lot more than Reimer, but the numbers don't lie right now. I was critical of them signing Gostisbehere and JT Compher, but those signings look pretty good right now, at least in the short term. So, you know, give them a lot of credit. The Iser plan is still alive, which is a good thing for the league, I think, with such an elite former player, you know, moving a team in the right direction, like maybe like Joe Sakic when he took over, maybe, you know, 3, 4, 5 years down the line, the Detroit Red Wings are a cup contender. They got a long way to go. Their metrics are off the charts, like the PDO stuff. So they're going to regress. Just how much is the big question, Anna?
I don't know, to be honest. This team is like my wild card team right now. I have no answer, but I feel like this hot start they're on has kind of excited a lot of folks. We have a fan question from our friends at Skip, which is an interesting one, guys, because it's a hot start compared to a slow start. He says, should I drop Nico Hischier and pick up Alex DeBrincat right now? And we have Hischier ranked higher than DeBrincat in our rankings, Pete, but Nico Hischier is zeros across the board so far this season, had an injury scare. It looks like it's not supposed to be too long term for the Devils, but DeBrincat is leading the league right now and looks like an all-time NHL stud in my eyes. It's a no-brainer, Pete.
Yeah, I can't even believe that's a question. Is it a four-man league out there? I mean, how is Alex DeBrincat still available? Sizzle. But yeah, that's a no-brainer. And Nico Hischier dealing with an injury. I actually wanted to ask you, some people last week were asking Anna about Dawson Mercer's, like, you know, mid start to the season, not really particularly strong. But now that Hischier's a little banged up, do you see some renewed upside there for a really quality player from last year?
With the New Jersey Devils, it just seems like it's Jack Hughes and everyone else right now. I mean, this team has not figured out its groove. Like, there's no reason why across 4 games, Dawson Mercer should have no points. Nico Hischier should have no points. Like, this was a team that had a really, really solid forward core group last season, and they just haven't gotten the ball rolling. But I will give you this, Pete. I think this is an opportunity for Dawson Mercer to step up, and the New Jersey Devils are just not a start of the season team. They just aren't. They weren't last year. I don't think they're going to be again this year. That's what we're seeing so far, but they'll turn it around, and then you'll see all these guys kind of explode a little bit.
Yeah, I would just add that too. Like, again, this is a perfect time for guys like that, and I think there's a team that can deal with a Nico Hischier injury that way. It's probably the Devils, because there's so much depth in that roster. Brought to you by good friends over at Skip. Another question, Reinhardt or Timo Meier? It's been a really, really tough start for Meier, and Anna, you know how I feel about contract year guys. It's amazing. Sam Reinhardt, new season, lighting it up, and he can smell that money at this point, Anna.
He can. It's just, this is so hard because we were so high on the New Jersey Devils heading into this season, and rightfully so. I thought in my eyes there was a chance they would win the Metro, like right up there with the Carolina Hurricanes, and this team just has been disappointing across the board right now. But I think it's going to turn around, and Timo Meier has such a high individual ceiling. I've been higher on him than a lot of folks. I know when he came to New Jersey last season, people expected way more from him, but his shot volume was still through the roof. In San Jose, he was an absolute stud of a player, and I think regardless of anything, he will put up those shots on goal, and when New Jersey figures stuff out, maybe Timo Meier takes advantage of the fact that some of these guys on this team are slacking right now and really carves a space for himself in New Jersey. So maybe I'm wrong. I'll probably regret this in 2 weeks if the Devils continue their slump, but I'm still going with Timo Meier.
It's crazy, though, guys. Like, the Metro division right now, you know who's at the top? The Philadelphia Flyers, right? They play teams like Dallas and Edmonton really well through thick and thin. Like, they got some weird thing going on with Carter Hart. Maybe, you know, I guess he didn't even dress the other day. Like, what's going on with that? But, I mean, Torts is pushing the right button so far. And a big reason, the biggest reason, in my opinion, that the Flyers are even relevant is Sean Couturier is back. And that is one of the best outside replacement options that you could find for Connor McDavid for a couple of weeks. Pick up the wily veteran, two-way force, Sean Couturier. He's back and maybe better than ever.
I love that look because, again, that's been the ultimate story of perseverance, right? Like, how much Sean Couturier has dealt with in the last couple of years, and to finally get back. There was a point where they wondered if he'd ever play again, right? And to get back and to play at this level, a top six center yet again, I like that look quite a bit. And we love those stories of resiliency early on in the fantasy season when you're really, really looking for that fantasy option on a team you really didn't think you're going to go near. Like I said at the start of the year, I thought Philadelphia was going to be the worst team in the league. Maybe they still trend that way, but like when there's value, you have to pick up on it. So I love that look.
I didn't think Philadelphia was going to be the worst team in the league. I thought that was San Jose by and far away. I thought Philadelphia actually had a lot of sneaky upside. Sean Couturier for sure, but Travis Konecny is a great player in fantasy year after year. He's a player that you should absolutely consider if he's not on your roster and is available at all. Like, that's a player that is phenomenal regardless of the environment he plays in. And Tyson Forrester has some sneaky upside too. Like, he was a rookie that I was watching in heading into the season, and he's a player that I'm monitoring. Joel Farabee, he had an off year last year, guys, but he was recovering from a major, major surgery. So sometimes it takes a while to get back into the swing of things. And he's got a couple of goals so far this season. This team has like some sneaky, sneaky players that, depending on some schedule manipulation, you could add to your roster on any given week and they could give you some extra points, Nick. I see
I
your
love
face.
That buzz phrase, schedule manipulation. The Metro division, Pete, I know you want to piggyback off that thought, but like Columbus, Patrick Laine heard again too, right?
Yeah, Columbus is good, though, too. Elvis Merzlikins is live as a fantasy pickup for sure. He's their clear starter, in my opinion, and they're tied for second in the Metro in points with the Rangers, who they beat earlier in the season. So, and it's one injury after another again with that group, but the difference is they have that young core with Fantilli and Johnson and Marchenko. Fantilli's really good. He's a must-own fantasy player for the rest of the season. And Laine banged up, but Werenski came back. And Werenski had a nice little return to the lineup the other day. I was wondering if Werenski, in your guys' opinion, is, you know, that upper echelon defenseman at this point in his career. I know the injury concerns are there, but like, I still think he's like a top 20, 25 defenseman in fantasy.
Yeah, I like him a lot. It's just, I don't know who's going to score in Columbus. Like, I know they got some kids on that roster, but it's always the same guys who get hurt. And I know it's a freak injury to Patrick Laine, but every year it doesn't seem like he can play 82, and hopefully he doesn't miss a lot of time here. But I always wondered going into the year who's going to be the 1C. It's going to be Boone Jenner by default. I mean, he's had a pretty good start and good form, but like, overall, Columbus is a team that's a work in progress for me. I know a lot of people last year were really, really high on that team, but I still like Werenski over a lot of legitimate defensemen. Like, I still view him as top 10, around top 10. I think he's going to bring a lot of value. I think they just need to get that power play cooking, but it comes down to health for me, Anna.
I think he's top 15 for sure. That's where I would have him at. I just struggle because you're right. The Columbus Blue Jackets are a team that struggle with so many injuries. Zach Werenski specifically, like, I don't remember the last time this guy played over 70 games in a year. Like, I don't. I don't think it's happened for years and years and years. Yeah. And I want to believe that some miracle will come around and he'll be the Zach Werenski that we used to know and love back in the day. But based off of the trajectory, you have to factor that into like the players you have on your fantasy team. And we just spent the beginning of this episode talking about the depth on the blue line on teams like the Carolina Hurricanes. And those are guys who are playing right now. And those are guys who usually play full seasons and they're producing. So it's tough for me to take a guy like Zach Werenski, even over a guy like Jacob Slavin right now.
You know who's providing some sneaky coverage, Pete, for Columbus? Ivan Provorov, man. I had to look on my calendar. I'm like, is it 2017 or 2023? But I'll take it. I think it's so hard to find defensemen. So that's a guy I'd look at as a waiver stream at the very least.
It's a good point. It was a sneaky offseason move. One guy that I like a little bit more because of the volume of minutes that he's playing. Last I checked, second in the NHL in time on ice per game, the entire league behind Drew Doughty, is Travis Sanheim. He's quarterbacking the first power play in Philly as of the past few days. I know Cam York was up there a little bit, but like with all those forwards that are, you know, overachieving in Philly, and I feel like Sanheim, that's something you look for. You want the guy to be on the ice as much as humanly possible, and he's certainly up there so far.
Yeah, I'm all over the Flyers right now, guys. Like, why not take advantage? I know. All over the Flyers right now in terms of the options that they have, but I listed out a decent amount so far. Like, why would you not capitalize on a team that's having a hot start that's probably going to fall off? Remember, you don't have to like stay committed to these guys. This isn't like a long-term relationship to the players you have on your fantasy roster. Literally, like, when they start to disappoint you, you can just let them
go. Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift. In 3 months, it won't be a thing anymore. Understandable. I like that. Is that a good comparable, Anna? You don't like it?
Sure. I you know what? Like, I go back and forth on those, you know? Like, I'm pretending like it doesn't exist right now. I just want to watch my football.
Speaking of that, okay, so I cover the Toronto Maple Leafs, and I'm glad this name is on your list this week, and Joseph Woll, the youngster for the Maple Leafs. But I can't believe how quickly people in Toronto are turning on Ilya Samsonov. Like, I get it. This guy's not Marty Brodeur reincarnated, but, like, he's coming off a pretty damn good season, breakout numbers. But I love this look. I would grab Joseph Woll right now, 13 career appearances, 10-3-0, one shutout, 2.28, a 928. There's no doubt he's the future. I think a lot of people in Toronto knew his time was coming sooner or earlier than expected at this point, because Ilya Samsonov has been downright atrocious. Four appearances, 4.34, 831. But you're going to need this tandem if you're the Maple Leafs moving forward. I actually think it's a good time, Pete, to buy low on Ilya Samsonov, but I'm really, really feeling Joseph Woll right now.
Right. Hopefully it lights a fire under Sammy, because they are going to need him at some point. I don't think Joseph Woll is going to take you to the promised land all by himself. You know what I'm saying? But it's a good development for the Maple Leafs, who are one of the five best teams in the league on paper. They should be, at least. And with Joseph Woll, when you see that type of peripheral coverage, it's like you want to see the guy play more. You don't want to say, oh, what could he do if he played 40 games in a season? You just want to go out there and see if he could be like a Jeremy Swayman, right? Type player, and carrying over that efficiency to a higher volume, Anna.
I actually avoided Samsonov in every single league I was in while drafting, just because I had a feeling this was going to happen. I'm not going to toot my own horn that much and say I knew it was going to happen this early. I am still a little bit surprised that it's not even November and it seems like everyone's on the Joseph Woll train. But Ilya Samsonov, like, when you look through his career, he played behind a good Maple Leafs team last season, guys, and that reflected in his numbers. But he played behind a Stanley Cup winning Washington Capitals core group for a couple of seasons and was just absolutely so fluky. High highs, low lows, just couldn't get a string of consistent performances together. So I've never really been high on this goalie. He's had a couple of seasons now underneath his belt to prove that he couldn't be consistent in the NHL, and he just has not been. So I would not be surprised if it is Joseph Woll's team as early as this season.
I just want to put respect in the guy who beat Andre Vasilevsky last year. That is hard to do in the Stanley Cup playoffs, and he was better than him in the first round there against Tampa Bay Lightning. But I think Joseph Woll is the play right now when it comes to the crease. Again, I think Samsonov's a really, really good buy-low target. Pete, just find me a goalie who's off to a good start, man. I on a daily basis, I go to my fantasy roster, I look at Connor Hellebuck's numbers, and I'm like, what was I thinking? But again, he had a pretty good weekend over the Edmonton Oilers, and it happens a lot, we'll say. Like, a good majority of goalies peak it off to a cold start. So anybody listening right now, don't freak out. Just relax. Just take it in the chin. I always do in the month of October, and November is going to bring greener pastures for all of us, okay?
It's crazy. I mean, you always look at, like, some early round picks that underachieve early on. And then it's like you look down and on our deep sleeper list was Karel Vemelka, who has a 951 save percentage through three games and a couple of quality wins, including one at the New Jersey Devils, which was impressive nonetheless, even though Jersey was on second of a back-to-back in that game. But I really like him. I like his staying power for that improved Arizona team that added defensemen like Durzi and Matt Dumba in addition to Logan Cooley. I know Jason Zucker is a little banged up, but that's a deep team in the desert. And also keep an eye on this Buffalo situation. Like, I know Devin Levi is banged up. I mean, that's a big blow if that's anything serious. But Eric Comrie came in with the black and red jerseys, I wanted to add. I know I mentioned that on a previous show. Buffalo turned it around after putting those jerseys on. They should wear them full time. That's just my opinion. But Eric Comrie got the win for Buffalo against the Islanders in that rematch.
Another goalie I want to throw out there, the most controversial goalie in fantasy in the NHL, just period in life, Nick. Jordan Binnington is off to an interesting start. I know it's only been a handful of games, but I feel like a lot of folks are asking about whether he is back. I mean, this guy won a Stanley Cup championship, right? And he looks lights out right now. Is this someone you would even consider, or are you just avoiding him entirely?
He's on my radar, okay? I'll go that far. He's on my radar. Having said that, from a betting point of view, I had looked at St. Louis and said, hey, that's a team I'm going to look at the over this season. And it's been the direct opposite. And a lot of it's been because of the system. But Binnington, I'd say this, he's on my watch list, okay? I can't get to that therapeutic level where Jordan Binnington's on my roster making starts on a weekly basis for me, Pete. I don't know if you feel the same, if you feel higher than most. We've seen that moment from Binnington, but it's a couple years removed now.
Yeah, it's funny with Binnington, right? Like, I feel like that goes again, and that doesn't go against logic because he's been a decent volume starter before, but I mean, what the guy does in certain games is just, you know, a little wacky, right?
Like
my son runs around the house with his Penn State hockey stick. I said, keep it down. Don't swing your stick around. But Jordan Binnington does the opposite. So I feel like it would go against my gut instinct to pick up Binnington in fantasy.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Let's look at the schedule, guys. You know, it's my favorite thing to look at. It's a different week, obviously, with Frozen Frenzy coming up on Tuesday. We've got a bonus pod coming up on Tuesday where we're going to dissect everything. 16 games, 16 different start times, and my couch. I'm already working that groove for Tuesday. I cannot wait. But we got one game on Monday, 16 Tuesday, 1 Wednesday, 11 Thursday, 6 on Friday, 9 Saturday, and 4 on Sunday, a grand total of 48 games. These are the teams you want to look at. If you're making weekly pickups, Buffalo, Minnesota, Montreal, Jersey, San Jose, Washington, that's 6 teams with 4 game slates. And the 2 game teams that you probably want to stay away from adding on the waiver wire, Arizona, Chicago, Dallas, Florida, Nashville, and the Tampa Bay Lightning, 6 games. And I tell you, John Cooper is holding on for dear life with the Lightning.
One duo I wanted to mention that's sneaky good is Nashville, Luke Evangelista, and
from
Tommy
Hopeful,
Novak. Yeah. They were both really good in points per game last year, Anna, for that Nashville team. And they're carrying it over in the Trotz regime, even with Ryan O'Reilly there. So you like to see that type of secondary scoring and some young studs that are overachieving based on expectations so far.
Yeah, I feel like the one big thing I've been very wrong about so far is the Nashville Predators. I really had no hope for this team this season. I just thought the league was too competitive. I didn't think that Ryan O'Reilly being added would just turn everything around for this squad. Saros was just left to dry last season, and I doubted them a lot. And then I went to the game that they played against New York Rangers last week, and I was like, oh my goodness, the New York Rangers got whooped by this Nashville Predators team, guys. It was absolute insanity to watch, but they have some sneaky upside. I'm specifically really excited about Evangelista. I think like that's the player that I'm watching right now.
I had to do some quick math. 5 of 82 is like 6%, which I'm telling you, it's way too early to make proclamations. Like people I was at Beer League Hockey on Sunday. And people are like, how do you feel about the Edmonton Oilers? I'm like, what do you mean? They're still going to be in the playoffs. They're still going to go far. They're still the best player on the planet. Yeah, goaltending is a concern. I just have a tough time saying, oh, Nashville's good or the Devils are stinking. Like, I just like to sit back, take a wait-and-see approach at least until the month of November. We like to joke here. It's until the cutoff point of American Thanksgiving because there's two different Thanksgivings, as we know. But it's like the 20-game mark. That's when Pete, I don't know if you're the same way. Like, around the 20-game mark, I think, is a pretty good understanding of what these teams truly are. Because I think you look at Nashville specifically. They got a new coach. They got some new players. Guys are fired up to be there. Wait till you get into the thick of an NHL season, no?
Yeah, I hear you. That's always my stance on things. Although this year, you know, there's a lot of flair around the league. Like this frozen frenzy thing is going to be a big barometer for everybody, like measuring stick. I'm really excited about this slate. We're actually going to have a separate podcast episode. So want to actually have a call to action. Send us all your start sit questions for this Tuesday podcast and we'll get to those, right, Anna? We don't usually do start sit like the NFL does because usually you can fit in, maybe only have one guy left as the odd man out on a bigger slate, but this is a different animal with 16 games. Everybody's playing. There's no schedule manipulation. You got to make some tough decisions.
I know, the entire schedule all in one day, so absolutely send those over. But guys, like, this is a waiver wire episode for now, and we're talking about long-term season futures. You should be capitalizing on trends of teams that are doing good and should be maybe dropping players on teams that aren't doing good that you could pick up again when they start doing good. That's the whole point of the waiver wire. So Nick's advice is good for season-long fantasy and those big guys on your roster, but for the sneaky pickups, like, take a look at some of these teams that are off to a surprising start.
Yeah, but why would I grab somebody on Nashville who's played two games or then grab somebody on Buffalo who's four games this week?
That's true, but those are both teams in slumps. Or like one team's doing well and one team's in a slump, but that are being avoided.
What do you think of the Buffalo top line with Jordan Greenway and Dylan Cousins playing with Tage Thompson? Tage Thompson had 10 shots on goal the other day. He's got a hat trick incoming sometime soon. But I like those different wrinkles. Like I thought in the offseason, nobody was talking about Jordan Greenway, but he adds a different element to the Buffalo Sabres, and I'm excited to see him if he could stick on the top line. I don't think he's going to stick there, but it's just a different wrinkle that I wasn't expecting.
I feel like the Buffalo Sabres is one of those teams where they're going to move players around so much. When I'm taking a look at players that I'm more excited about, I still like JJ Paterka more than like a Jordan Greenway. So that's the direction that I'm leaning in for sure. Jeff Skinner, I feel like no one's talking about him. He's been a bright spot for the Buffalo Sabres so far. I like Jeff Skinner. I think he has a pretty high ceiling. This guy wants to make it into the postseason so badly, guys, like so badly in his NHL career. So I'm sure he's going to be trying to have him a career year. So just on that left side of the ice, I feel like there are a couple better options on that team.
Look, as a High School Musical fan, I just want to see this guy score a lot of goals at KeyBank Arena. That's all. His goal song is epic. But yeah, I'm with you. Like I think Buffalo is still searching for that way to get Tage Thompson going. I've had a lot of questions. We've had a lot of questions about like some buy low candidates. I think it's too early. Jason Robertson's off to a so-so start. Tage Thompson, Meyer, I think it's way too early to try to pull that off. Like, I don't think any fantasy owner is going to be like, oh, it's the 5-game mark. I have to jump ship. But I think once the person gets Tage Thompson going, they're going to be that person on that line. So, like, they're trying a bunch of different guys out right now, Pete.
Yeah, they are. Producer Bobby's actually asking about Bedard watch. Like, can we check in on this guy? He scored a big goal against the, and the home opener the other day. His shot volume has diminished a little bit. I even see when I'm looking now, like Andrew Kopp, low key, has passed him in shots on goal among the league leaders. He also has 4 points in 6 games, Andrew Kopp. I liked him a couple of years ago with the Rangers. So maybe give Kopp a look for those red hot Red Wings. But yeah, Connor Bedard, where do you stand on him? And do you have an update to his season point projection total based on what you've seen?
I still think like 68.5 was the magic number, right? I'm still feeling the over. I think he's getting his feet wet at the NHL level. I think the thing working against him is all he pretty much has is Taylor Hall. I mean, with all due respect to that roster, and I think we were maybe a bit higher on Seth Jones than we should have been. Like, I mean, I don't think he's just that guy anymore. I think he looks so far, 4 points in 6 games. I think he's right there at that threshold. But I think it's going to be a bit of a battle. It's going to be fun to document this season with producer Bob, who is mic-less today, thankful for all. But we're going to have him on, and we're going to measure this throughout the season, Anna.
Listen, the guy starts his NHL career off on a 5-game road trip, okay? That's a tough start to the year for this kid. Still, 5 shots on goal, 6 shots on goal, 5 shots on goal, 4 shots on goal. And then the one team he didn't put a shot up against was the Colorado Avalanche. Just give this kid a break right now, okay? He's had a tough start to the year, and he's still proven himself to be so valuable. Bob just, like, hasn't watched him before. Like, this is welcome to Connor Bedard for producer Bob right now. Nick and I have been seeing this for the last 4 years, so we know what this kid is capable of, and it's the over for sure. Like, I am so sure about this. Like, I've never been sure more sure about anything in my entire life.
I don't think he's going to hit the goal prop. I think the point prop, 68.5. I have him around 72 points this season. I think it happens.
I look at it as, like, is he going to hit our preseason projection, which was 78? I feel like that's on the table. It's possible. So I'm not backing down off that just yet. I did also want to mention, so it was a really nice start for Leo Carlson. He scored in his first game in the NHL, but then they didn't play him on Sunday against the Bruins. And a fan was asking about that question delivered by Skip. What's the deal with this Leo Carlson situation? To me, it's one of those things like Roope Hintz a couple of years ago that was because of an injury though. They said Pat Verbeek, the GM of the Ducks, said this isn't performance based. They want to save him for a nice push for the second half of the season. That's not something that fantasy managers want to hear, Nick.
That's GM speak, Pete. Come on. Where's Anaheim going to be in the second half of the season? It's the same old story for that team, man. Like, I bet on them on Sunday. They're looking good, 1-0, and then they just blow it. They're going to be nowhere in the second half. It's typical, like, protecting your asset. I don't know what you call it. I mean, the guy's first sniff of the NHL, and that's what we're going to see. But it really, really is weird, right? Because I was really excited. Makes his debut, coming off the injury, of course, in training camp, scores the goal in his debut, and then you're a health bomb. It's like, what am I missing? Like, is Anaheim trying to get younger? Are they trying to get older? Some of these decisions, I'm watching Radko Gudas, they got Kalorn. Like, they're a team in the middle right now, Anna.
You know, like, there's a saying that, like, if you want something out of life, you just got to act as if. And I feel like the Anaheim Ducks are trying to act like they're, like, the Vegas Golden Knights right now. And they're like, oh, yeah, if we put this out there, we're going to be relevant in the second half of the season. Not going to happen. I really don't know what direction they're heading in. But, hey, we're talking about them. So whatever they're doing, it's getting them airtime at the very least.
They got nice jerseys, right?
They do, but they just lost in them, so it's not a streak anymore. But yeah, I agree. I mean, I just want to see this guy play more nights than not. I want to see him out there with that Minchikov. I want to see him with Terry and McTavish and Trevor Zegras. I mean, why would you play a guy? Why would you sit a guy, a young stud that is waiting for an opportunity and proving that he's electric out there for a franchise that doesn't have very much right now? I mean, I hope that he's in the lineup more times than not, because if he's not, then it's going to come to 9:55 on a Wednesday night when the Ducks are playing some random game. Is this guy playing? Is he not? Okay, he's in, but now it's 10 o'clock. I missed my window. That seems like a headache for fantasy. I hope it doesn't happen.
Hey, Anna, can you tell that Pete owns Leo Carlson in one of his keeper leagues?
I actually don't. I'm defending the kid.
This sounds like a personal story. This sounds like a true... It's giving David Satriano right now, Pete.
It's very My Cousin Vinny, if you ask me. So last but not least, Frozen Frenzy's coming up on Tuesday. Again, 16 games, 16 different start times. And Pete, we want your questions, right, as you prompted earlier on.
Send them at NHL Fantasy. Send them to us individually. We'll do a bonus episode on Tuesday. Of course, the coverage on ESPN is going to be fantastic. It's going to be Red Zone. It's going to be even better than Red Zone because it's hockey. So I'm so stoked about this, man.
And I'm going to get Skip going with all the food you could imagine in the world to fire me up for lots of NHL hockey. So we'll leave it at that. We're right back at it on Tuesday, guys. Thanks to producer Bob Bender, for Pete Jensen and Anna Dua. I'm Nick Alberga. You've been listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice, delivered by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.